Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I am joined by producer Joel.
Hi.
Who's jogging on the spot. He is in marathon training. Marathon. Is that posh?
Never stop. Marathon.
Sounded posh or
marathon
American.
Off.
Marathon and off. Depends, mate. Is it raining?
Yeah. Will there be social distancing?
If it's...
Long social distance running.
But hopefully that'll be under something.
Yeah, I'm hoping it'll be under it. But who knows?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It'll be over with. What's the phrase where you say? I haven't really woke up properly today.
Just for the listener, it's 3 p.m.
That's done with. What's the phrase?
It's over and done with.
No, up and under the up and under the
water under the bridge.
Water under the bridge. Is it?
I don't know, mate. Yeah, it's all.
Hopefully, there'll still be water under the bridge. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Just edit that, Joel. So straight through.
Oh, definitely will.
You won't. Hopefully, this will be water under the bridge. It'll be a proper marathon when you do it.
Mate, well, I don't think the distance changes.
What?
You said a proper marathon just sounds funny, doesn't it? Like you can do a pretend one,
right? Yeah, but you know what I mean. Because you would have to socially distance, wouldn't you, if you did it right now?
I would, yeah.
Like they weren't allowed to put them on. I mean, some people might not know what we're talking about. Last week we chatted about Joel is in marathon training. How many runs have you been for this week, Joel?
2.
Is that all?
If it's Wednesday.
Oh, I meant since last time we spoke.
Oh.
So you're going every day? Every couple of days?
Not every day, Mark.
Are you running in the rain?
Yeah, I love running in the rain.
Do you? Do you wear a rain jacket?
Makes me feel quite sexy. No, I don't wear a jacket.
Shirt off?
Topless. No trousers.
Brilliant.
Because if the police are chasing me, I could sort of hit those PBs.
Why are the police chasing you? Because you're naked?
Naked, yeah.
Wait, would the police chase you if you're just in your underpants?
That's an excellent question. I don't know.
I can't see that.
You haven't seen these pants.
Is it like Borat? Have I told you about that? Unbelievable. What? So I got Borat film came out on Friday.
Yeah.
I got emailed asking if I'd on my Instagram if I'd have a photo with some merchandise to help promote it, and they said pay me £300 to do it, and I was like, yeah, that sounds brilliant, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then a day later, they said, it's changed a little bit. would you wear a maskini? and they said, you can do it just normal, just your body, or they can send a bodysuit as well. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Are you mad? And then the next day, I saw loads of comedians just holding merchandise. What? Why have they asked me? Is it because I've got less followers than them? Is that why? Surely you'd want the people
with
more
sexy body.
Surely. Well, maybe they did some research. And then I did see a couple of comics do it, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Okay. Like, as in the maskini bit. because when you got the full body thing, I think you just got to own it or something like that. But yeah, I was like, why the hell have they only asked me to do that? Also, that is not a last, like, that was the day before. That's not a last, or 2 days before. That's not a last second change. Where do they get all these mascarinis from? They can't suddenly go, actually, I think we're going to...
Hang on, we've got a load of these mascarinis left over.
Left over? From what? So what's happening this week, Joel?
We've got Jim Campbell.
It's Jim Campbell. Wrap your ears around this.
Yeah.
Hang on. Sorry. 1, 2, 1, 2. Yep. Great. Really good. It's been going on for ages now, actually. Like, I was surprised. We just do it every week. Because you know Joel, don't you? You know my...
Yes, I do know
so
Joel.
So we've just been sticking them out every week, and we... The other day, someone said, you know, that was your 100th episode. And we're like, oh, God, no, we meant to do something for that.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, so, but you've been doing podcasting a lot longer than me. Like, you did it from, like, the heyday, didn't you?
Yeah, because basically when the Football Ramble started, I wasn't actually a member of it, but it was a couple of guys I went to, three guys I went to uni with, but one of them left because he worked for the FA, so he felt compromised. Oh. And he recommended me, and like a couple of the guys knew me anyway. But like, I didn't know what a podcast was when I was invited onto it, because it was like, right. Ricky Gervais had his one, but that was really the only big
one.
A long
time ago, yeah. And
2007.
Hang on, that was before I even knew you.
You're mad.
Oh, I didn't. I didn't know you were doing it then.
Yeah, I think I've been doing... I think my first stand-up gig was probably about 3 months before I did the first podcast.
Wow. They must have been like, oh, comedian for the podcast. But you weren't even really a comedian then.
Not really, no. I mean, I was in the sense that, like, you know when you've done, like, 4 gigs, so you like the way comedian sounds, but you're not a fucking comedian.
I used to meet anyone, like, when I used to go out, I'd tell them I'm a comedian. I wasn't a comedian.
Yeah.
I worked in the sports centre.
And then, like... yeah, I mean, like... Now you don't really tell people because they just ask you to tell your joke or whatever.
What do you do in that situation? Because I've solved how to get around that. Because you know when someone asks you to tell us a joke, and it's either they want to make you feel stupid and not laugh because they just want to put that power over you, or it's so awkward they panic and don't get it. Because I do proper joke jokes, so that's so they have to sort of think to get it. But what I worked out is I tell them before I do the joke, I say this was in the top jokes of the Fringe list. And that way, said, it's been like someone has judged that. Someone has chosen it. Like lots of people, it's been judged. Like you can't tell me it's not a joke. So that sort of solved that entire problem. And then I tell them the joke. But have to do that.
I've had a few of those as well. So... You should get, everyone that's got one of those should have a little laminate all of them where you just go.
It's a little card, like a driver's license.
Yeah. Or even on a lanyard. Yeah. So it's just like, tell you a fucking joke. It's funny because Garrett Millerick has one of those. I forget what the joke is, but it's one, you know how sometimes they surface in different years?
Yes.
Like it's like you've got a joke of the Fringe thing from like 3 years ago. So, all right. Fine. And apparently this joke has never worked on stage.
Yeah.
It's just one he sent off to the PR.
Yeah. Quite often that's the case. Like with him, I would guess that it probably, if the one he sent off was probably a jokey joke, and he doesn't really do that, so that doesn't suit him. Like, you've had some on those lists. Were they jokey jokes?
Yeah, they were joke. They were bits that were almost like one-liners within a bit.
Oh,
if
so
that
they
makes
were
sense.
Bits you
so
do
you
on
can
stage.
Take them out and yeah, they were bits.
Oh,
I do.
Okay. Yeah, the ones they picked of mine are quite often jokes that don't work very well. Like, they work okay, but they're not the best jokes. But it's like, to be or not to be a horse rider, that is equestrian. So that was on last Edinburgh. But I think it's such a stupid start to a joke that they're almost sort of taken aback by what it just comes out of nowhere. There's no... And the same with the one they picked... 2 years before that, where I just go combine harvesters and you'll have a really big restaurant. But again, in the setup, like it's a great written down joke, but in the setup, during a set, even though I do silly jokes, my stuff is generally you start the sentence like a normal sentence. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, but that out of nowhere, And I think that might be why that they don't work so well.
It's, I guess so much of that is down to, like, have we started, by the way? Is this stuff we should be saving for
No, this is all good. Yeah, so keep going. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, great.
I just ease you in, mate.
Yeah, I think with stuff like that, because if you start a normal sentence, like by going, combine harvesters, it sounds mad. But if you get the sort of delivery of your persona right, then that'll be hilarious. Yeah. Because people will be like, who is this bloke that just suddenly goes, combine harvesters. I'm announcing that we're talking about combine harvesters. And like, sometimes that's an amazing thing. It's like a really exciting thing to be in the room and witness when you just do not know what this oddball is going to say next. But then I guess sometimes written down, that's just a bit weird.
Like, so the trouble with that one is I don't have enough of that sort of thing. So it really is weird. Mm-hmm. Like, whereas if they're like, oh, this is what this guy does, that's fine. But with me it's, that's one. And then maybe equestrian. They're the only two I've really got where they sort of come out of nowhere like that. It's weird.
I've had a weird one with somebody seeing that one of my jokes was in one of those fringe compilations.
Right.
Like saying that they'd seen it and then not understanding it. Like, because the joke was, the first rule of Fight Club is that you don't talk about how Brad Pitt and Edward Norton's characters turn out to be the same guy at the end. It was my cousin, actually. And he was like, oh, I saw that thing. It's like, yeah, you're right. People don't talk about that. It's like,
what?
I don't think you know what the joke is here. But bless you for, like, for praising it.
That's funny. Does that work live, that one?
It does. But I feel a bit bad about doing
because
it.
Because of spoilers?
Because there's always... Well, because
even
it's a spoiler,
now?
Yeah. Because occasionally someone will go, oh.
No, they won't.
Yeah, well, this is it. I had a sort of tag on the end of it of how, like, it's on. If you've not seen Fight Club by this point, it's on you, isn't it? Like, I think it's fair enough. There needs to be some sort of statute of limitations on that. I think it comes from my own experience of overhearing the endings to both Fight Club and The Sixth Sense, which were out in the same year. I overheard in two different conversations by people I didn't know on the same day. So, like, I feel the pain that I'm putting on people by that joke. Yeah, I know, right? How unlucky
they're
is that?
Like, if you were going to pick two films with those kind of reveals at the end, surprises, they'd be the two you'd pick, wouldn't they? And you had them, both spoiled on the same day.
Same day, overheard different sets of people having conversations about them. It's just so...
Wow. So did you still go and see them?
What can you do? I've not seen The Sixth Sense.
Oh, really?
What's the point? What is the point?
Yeah, like, you know, there's not much to it until the end. it does ruin it, yeah. Fight Club as well.
Oh, man.
Like, that is... Oh, that's such a... Have you ever had any other films spoiled? Because you know what? Films, it's hard to surprise people these days, I think.
Because it is, It's like
just back then, you're like, I don't think there had been that many of those sort of films. Whereas now, when I'm watching a mystery, I'm trying to work out what the twist is.
Yeah, I think The Usual Suspects would be the other big one, wouldn't it, of those. But like, I know what you mean. I can't remember having had anything. Maybe I knew that as well. I can't remember having anything spoiled quite as dramatically as those.
That
two.
Was a surprise for me. The Usual Suspects. I watched it a lot of years after it came out. Like, I wasn't into films really when it came out, I don't think. But yeah, that was a surprise. That's great. They're all the same sort of surprise though,
really,
aren't they? It's all about the people not being the people. Or they are the people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's something not what you think about one of the characters. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. So did you ever delve into that as a bit of material on stage? Did you ever try talking about the fact that both of those has been spoiled?
I did actually, but I think I did. But it's one of those things where it's like, this is an annoying thing that happened to me. And it's maybe sort of funny in a conversation when the person knows you and can laugh at your misfortune. But when an audience doesn't know you, it's sometimes it's not as... It's not as... the context of you isn't strong enough for it to be funny on its own. It's the sort of thing where sometimes you tell a story, it's like... Yeah, I need to add jokes to this. And you thought it was funny enough on its own, and it's not. Actually, one of the most prime bits of material I've tried to get to work over the years has been a case of that. And it's something that happened to me when I was a kid. And it was actually it was quite traumatic. It was quite a traumatic thing that happened that has shaped a lot of my personality. But it's also like, it's not so traumatic that it's like going to be one of those like tear jerking fringe shows. Basically, yeah, exactly. So I had plastic surgery when I was 9 years old, like all the cool kids.
Because my ears stuck out. I wondered about your boobs all these years.
Yeah, why three? I got terrible advice on that. So my ears stuck out a lot, so I had my ears pinned back, which was quite a sort of normal procedure. And it was the thing I was picked on for at school. Like,
and have you had it reversed?
Yeah, my school had one of those. Like, no, I haven't. Because, well, basically, this is what happened. So the surgery didn't really work, as you can see.
Oh, that was a joke. They look absolutely normal very much to me.
Oh, right. Well, I had a sort of very sort of Dobby the House Elf look when I was younger, and so it turns out I have a type of skin that scars really easily because I have a really mild form of haemophilia, which means that my blood clots like really slowly. Right. So I had these huge scars on the back of my ears when I was a kid. So I tried to get my ears pinned back to stop them sticking out. Had surgery. Surgery didn't work, so my ears still sticked out, and now I had these huge scars on the back of my head. And obviously, you feel like people are talking about you because they are, and you can hear them because you're a kid
and you're walking around ears. And
going, "Ugh, that's gross." Yeah, a kid with massive ears that have got like slug-style scars on the back of them. So, I obviously was like, "Yeah, this is not ideal. This is not what I had hoped for with my plastic surgery at 9 years old." So I went to see a consultant with my mum, obviously. To sort of see about scar removal surgery. And he said that because of my skin type and also the difficulty of this sort of surgery, if I had scar removal surgery on the scar removal surgery itself would leave other scars. And he thought the irony of that was hysterical. Like, he seemed to find this so funny. Like, what a conundrum you're in. Oh, bloody hell, there's no point. It'd be absolutely the same. And the thing that really sticks in my mind, apart from him, his like Dr. Hibbard style reaction to my childhood trauma, was that in his in tray, he had like a 90s style in tray. I think it would have been early 90s. He had a 90s style plastic in tray. And as I remember it, he just had a pile of silicone breasts in it. Like just some tits just sort of sat there in his office while he's chuckling away at my pain. And over the years, I thought, well, this story's so weird that it must be the sort of thing I'll be able to turn into stand-up. But I think quite often with that sort of thing, you have to start by just telling the story and then find the jokes in it. But I think it's too long and complicated. I've not managed to sort of condense it down into like little 30-second gags or little like joke bits. And that's something I generally feel like I'm quite good at. Mm. But I think maybe I'm better at like linking things that don't actually go together to make a little fake story than I am telling a real story.
Right, so how long have you been trying that bit on and off?
On and off for like probably as long as I've been doing stand-up. And there'll be like maybe a 5 or 6 year gap in between me trying that. But it's one of those, it's like my white whale. It's that thing where I think I really have to get that to work.
Have you got a strong opinion on why you think it won't work? Because it's too, you say it's because you think it's there's too much detail you need to get through to get into it. Because to me, I've never ever thought you've got big ears or sticky out ears.
Yeah.
So do you think that makes a difference if you're, it's like when you get like really good looking comics like us doing jokes about not being good with girls and you're going,
yeah,
that's not thing. So
it's not true, is it?
But maybe as a kid you had a really small head and the same size ears. Do you know what I mean? Because
I just had adult sized ears.
But it doesn't, did you, so when you were saying that, I jumped in a quick joke about you heard them because you've got massive ears. Did you actually use that as a punchline or not?
No, I've got to be honest, I missed you saying that
right
just then. But yeah, maybe I could do something like that. Because self-deprecation is something that works very well for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
so have you still got scars on the back of your ears now?
I have, but they've gone down a lot, which is great, to the point where like I kind of forget about it. It's only when I tell people about this that I show them. And it takes people a while to see it. But genuinely, it is something that has shaped who I am a lot because I grew up. I think even be the reason I do stand up.
Sorry, no one at home can see what I did then, but just
the shape sort of his double head. Ear shape. But
just being rude to him again.
Yeah, because I think we're all, I don't know if you feel like this, mate, but like, do you feel like part of the reason you want to get up and perform is there is some element of you that wants to prove someone wrong?
I don't know
who it is that I want to prove wrong. I think as a fairly sort of shy, introverted person, I think I like to contrive this limelight through stand-up. And I think part of the reason I want to do that is because I always felt people had an opinion of me that they were voicing while they were walking along behind me going, "This kid got slugs on his ears."
Okay, so that's it's your defence to all those people that were thinking, that makes sense, yeah. So
I think it would be a really cathartic thing to actually make into a bit. Yeah. I just can't seem to get it to work.
There's two jokes we've added there. There's, you can hear them, and then there's when you said about the shape of you, that's funny.
I love the idea of like growing into them as well, because that is literally is what happens.
But then if you address that point, because if that is something that the audience are thinking, if they're thinking, he hasn't got big ears, you could say, turns out I just had a really small head.
Also like, it's quite a surreal idea, isn't it, that I happen to be born with fully grown adult ears, which is actually quite lucky in that, like, imagine you're a baby with like a man-sized leg. That's going to be a much bigger problem. So in a sense, I got lucky.
And then when like the Lion King moment, but they just held you up with your ears, like a trophy.
Yeah, that was a thing that happened at school. I was often a sort of a substitute for the FA Cup. That was a thing people did.
This is madness to me. I need to see a photo because it doesn't look like this should have been an issue. So maybe the audience I think he's got...
Tell you what, I'll send you a photo of myself when I was a kid. I looked a lot like Britain's youngest serial killer at the time. And you can, I don't know, maybe use it to on Instagram.
Why didn't it work, the surgery?
Because I had in one of my ears, I had a big piece of cartilage. So they just sort of took that out instead. And the other one, I don't really know. So it's all a bit odd. But it's a fairly routine thing. People have it all the time. There was absolutely no way to sort of see that this was going to happen. So it's just one of those things. But yeah, I feel like it would. Surely it's got to have some value later in life. And stand up seems an obvious
with the
thing.
Joke about growing into your head. Could there be a punchline? It's a stupid punchline. I don't know whether this would work for the sort of thing you do. Whether you ever go too so ridiculous for a joke. But like, could you say they ended up giving you plastic surgery just for your head, just so you got your head bigger? So like, that's like a funny, quirky sort of Dimitri Martin.
Well, because the thing
twist.
Is, I can, because I've actually, where that would work is that I've got this meeting with this guy, right? And he's got the boobs in his intro and he's laughing at me. So I suppose, I guess you fill those jokes in that conversation, right? Whereas I, like, because I think with a true story, it's very tempting to just tell the exact truth of it sometimes when, you know, sorry to burst anyone's bubble if you think that everything stand-up say on stage is completely true, but it is obviously not. And I guess that's I've got to build that conversation between me and then the surgeon and my confused mum sat in that office.
Do you think when it comes...
And I guess that's where those...
Do you think when it comes off of material that you've invented, it doesn't feel quite right because it's not in the same rhythm, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's true because I guess every time you tell a story... you're kind of rebuilding it, aren't you? You're rewriting the story, even if it is based on a true thing. So eventually when you've got a bit that is based in truth, your kind of mental image of it is so different from how things actually happen.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, lovely.
That's awful. I'm sorry. I apologize to all of humanity.
I thought you were a professional podcaster.
Yeah, I know, right? This is my day off today. Unfortunately, you've borne the brunt of that.
I was thinking, is there a way to get... Like, I have no idea, so I haven't actually got an idea, but you know, like, so the thing he's doing with your ears is, like, you've got this problem, and if you get rid of that, it's going to leave another problem. Is there anything you can sort of say back to him as a put down almost about the way he's the way his attitude is, but you could change that, but you still... That's all I've got there is a bit of an outline of a structure, but it'd be quite nice if the end of the bit you got your own back on him with some sort of...
Yeah.
Or something about the
some
boobs.
Sort of smart ass.
In the...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think that's something that just might take a lot of thinking about. But
yeah,
but I feel like that's what you need at the end of that. Because at the end, there's no, you're not a winner. There's no, it's just this horrible bloke laughing at a 9-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. I did consider something about nicking one of the boobs to use it as a stress ball. But again, it's not, it's an idea, isn't it? It's not, there's not a proper joke in there yet. So it's definitely something I need to go away and think about. But I think part of the problem as well is it sounds quite self-pitying.
Yeah.
And it isn't a bad enough thing for people to be truly sympathetic, because it is just a little bit weird.
And you look normal.
Well, yeah, maybe that's what I've been missing. You know, we're all,
they might be going, "What's it? Why is it?"
You know what I look like better than I do, because I've never seen my own head in 3D. Do you know what I mean? So we've got like an image of ourselves that's probably not what everyone else sees.
Yeah, it's never occurred. Although when we first met, you had longer hair, didn't you?
Yeah, and that was actually, I had longer hair to cover up scars. So gradually my hair has sort of gone back up my head. It really defined me in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like, because obviously having long hair as a kid, you sort of get painted as like, you know, a certain type of person. Mm. I mean, I was into all the music that the kids with long hair had anyway. So it became
part of my
identity. It was the main reason. Yeah, it was like, it was a happy coincidence. I remember hearing Nirvana for the first time thinking, right, that'll do for me. So I don't know, like, obviously you do a lot of one-liners, don't you? So do you find stuff ever coming from truth, or is it just that you're kind of like,
stuff comes from truth, and they're the ones I kind of really like saying. That's just I don't know why, but I feel like the thing you said, if I've had a breakup and then I write a joke about a breakup, I like saying that one more than the others.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
It's funny actually, because I did a show about a breakup, and it's such a cathartic thing.
Yeah.
Like, more than any subject. And it's something so many people do, but it does really have a kind of, I don't know, an urgency to
it. And I think, as long as, if you're getting laughs from it, you're kind of owning the breakup, aren't you? You're making it into something. So there's a positive. Maybe that's what
it is. Again, you're retelling that story, aren't you? And yeah, that was exactly how it worked out for me.
Then some people don't like the retelling of that sort of thing, because it can be quite traumatic. But I've never thought that. I'm just like, oh, I've got another great joke. Brilliant.
Yeah. I think something for me, so I did a whole show about that. And my style on stage is generally quite self-deprecating. I wanted to make sure that if I was talking about my ex on stage, that I wasn't doing that like, well, I've got a crazy ex thing. I made sure that it was very clear that there was a crazy ex in the situation, but it was me. I wanted to kind of, I didn't want to effectively like go around defaming my ex, because wasn't the truth of the story.
So you changed those, so you were the one, you just role reversed, did you, with the material?
Well, it was more that like, I didn't want to sort of air any dirty laundry on stage. So I made sure that any joke that was kind of emotive, I was the butt of, you know, because I don't think you want to kind of go around being bitter.
No.
And if there's a real person involved, you've just got to be sort of, you know, respectful of that, I think. But that's a difficult difficulty
sued,
telling a true story.
Someone got sued not that long ago. I can't remember
who
it was.
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
But I feel like the comedian won. That
I think that's correct, yeah.
I wish I can remember. I can't remember who that was.
Be a tough case to resolve that, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have found that just stuff that, true things that you see in the world that are funny. I'm moving on slightly, slightly here, because there's this bit I'm really, really interested in your take on this, because I saw a thing happen that was hilarious,
right.
And I thought, this is going to go straight in. And you know how sometimes a joke arrives to you fully formed, and then it just works? You're like, brilliant. My brain just did me a solid here. Sometimes it feels like reality does that. And I remember what happened was, I was walking along and I saw a woman jogging. And then she heard a wolf whistle. And weirdly, she actually looked quite flattered, which was weird.
Yeah.
But then she looked around to see who had done it. And it was just a bird sat in a tree. And she looked really embarrassed. And she didn't see that I'd seen this whole thing happen. And she just sort of ran away embarrassed from this bird. And I tried to tell it on stage, and sometimes it worked. sometimes it didn't. I tried to change it so that, because I think the thing of her finding it flattering seemed a bit jarring, because that is odd, and I would imagine quite a rare example of that being the case. So I changed it so that she looked annoyed, and I tried to change it so she thought it was me. And I tried to sort of mess with it in all kind of different ways. And it never, sometimes it's one of those annoying jokes that it works enough that you know there's something there.
Yeah.
But then it was kind of unreliable at the same time. So
I feel like you want to make her arrogant in the setup so that your kind of the audience likes that she, or she was horrible to you or something, where that happening to her and her embarrassment makes it funnier for the audience. Because if she seems like she's quite nice, because when you said she seemed flattered, you kind of think, oh, she probably, nice little ego boost. That's
kind of
was maybe if she was an arsehole.
Yeah, but at the same time, you don't ever want to be on the side of catcalling, you know. And perhaps that's it. Perhaps it's because it's coming from the
I see what you mean.
It's you know, it's not really.
Or if you went surreal and was sort of was like started having a go about at the bird.
Yeah,
like
my suspicion is that people think I've made it up.
Yeah,
and they because the more you go, I promise you this actually genuinely happened, the less believable it sounds. And for that to be like as a made up situation, it's not actually that funny. Perhaps that's it. I think maybe the humour comes in the fact that I really did see this happen, but people just don't.
I was thinking that there might be a nice little. So if you go in the anti-sexism route into the joke, like quite strong opinion about it. And then say you saw this, and then this, you know, this girl, and this bird, and because when you said there was a bird in the tree, it'd be funny if you then the reveal was it was a woman in the tree, and you've just been sexist. Do you know what I mean? That kind of I don't know what you call that.
Non sequitur, perhaps.
Yeah, but just as the reveal that I don't know what that woman was doing in the tree. That probably isn't won't work. But I don't know. I quite like the idea of you being one way, and then you have the gags.
Yeah, I like gags like that where you can add, you can keep pulling.
So I've got
you know, veils away.
I've got something. Is it similar? A joke. What is it? The other day, my cleaner said I was misogynist. Girlfriends, eh? Or something like that. As a joke that is so clear that isn't my opinion.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And again, you're the joke is that you're a dick.
Yeah.
But you are the butt of your own joke there, sort of in a way that's unsaid.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you might just be right in the sense maybe it's just not quite, but they just don't believe it's happened. Because it does sound like something you could make up.
Yeah.
Because you go, oh, wolf whistle sounds like a bird. That's, and then just do the logic there.
Yeah. I think it's. Is it? They're the worst jokes.
No. It's funnier if it's you. You're the one.
What if she thinks it's
no, me? You've made the mistake.
Yeah.
You're like, because you could be like, I know women, and I totally agree with women that they shouldn't be wolf whistle, but like, for a bloke, it makes you feel good or something. And then, I don't know, it might be too long-winded for the joke to get into. Maybe just simple. Maybe it could just be as simple as on the way here, I was walking along and got, wolf whistled. Oh no, it was a bird. I don't know if that's
wolf whistled, cat called.
I don't know if that's...
Annoyingly, all of the phrases for this have different.
Oh, cat called is words, though, which isn't kind of.
Good point.
Well, maybe
that's
what. You... Well, no, I doubt that's made the difference, is it? But wolf whistle is the birdie sound, isn't it?
Yeah.
But cat called is when you go, oh, I love you smile. Is that cat called?
Yeah.
Look at
yeah,
your tits
I think
on
so. Hey, tits, yeah. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Because obviously it'd be like, you know, I got wolf whistled on the way here. Thought I'd be objectified. Actually quite liked it. Turned around. It was a pigeon, bear, something like that. Maybe the other way around. Maybe reveal that you like it at the end. I
had a joke that was not dissimilar a while ago where that never really worked, but it was something along the lines as I was walking along and I got wolf whistled the other day, which was really embarrassing because I was walking right behind this really hot girl. Or something like that. So the joke is they were wolf whistling her, but which is quite embarrassing because I was with my girlfriend at the time. So, but it never quite hit. And maybe that's maybe what will be the problem with your one is they maybe they just don't believe.
Yeah, it sounds like a made up scenario.
Yeah.
So now I've like most comedians, I've not been gigging much during the pandemic because we weren't allowed. Mm. But I had my first gig back on Friday.
Had you?
So I did some new stuff. Some of it worked, and I've now got that potential problem, which most comedians have had. I'm sure you've had as well. Have you ever had a thing where you do a
hang on, doorbell, one sec.
No,
it's like Noel's house party.
Is it going to be Neil Morrissey?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
So I did my first gig back since the start of the lockdown recently. So I tried some new stuff. Some of it worked. And I now potentially have the problem that a lot of comics have. I'm sure you would have experienced this, Mark, as well, where you try a new gag. It works the best of any of the gags you do. And then it never works again.
Oh, I hate that.
It's so weird. It's such an odd phenomenon. I feel like comedians of any level that you speak to go through this as well.
Mm. So a lot of the time it can just be how you say it, but then it could just be you're riding a wave in the room that's really good, and maybe the joke never was good in the first place.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
But you just don't know.
So on board with you.
So your gig the other day, so you had some that worked really, but you haven't done a gig since?
No. So I'm just getting back into the admin rhythms of booking gigs now.
So
yay!
You don't know. It's the ones that worked. You don't know yet whether they're gonna. Is anything you're suspicious of that worked too a little bit too well?
Well, I had a joke that did really well on Twitter, which I opened with, and it went well. It's quite bold to open with a new gag when you've not done a gig for 6 months. But
that's brave, mate.
Know, yeah. Well, it's a bit stupid. I think it's. Effectively, I was talking about having watched every movie during lockdown, including Rambo Last Blood, which is the fifth movie in the Rambo franchise. And all I could think about was how nobody thought to call it Rambo Number 5. That works really well. So, had another one, which
of course
was...
that does. That's cool. That's not brave opening with that. That's a great joke.
Thank you. But you never know, do you? You never know. That's the thing. Sometimes you sort of put a lot of work into something and it falls flat, and other times stuff just comes to you and seems you feel like, is that so simple it's not really a joke? And then
so
it
that
really
would
flies.
Work well written down, I think. Oh yeah, you said it did well on Twitter, so that would work in a jokes list.
Yeah, you would think. But then sometimes jokes that work really well on Twitter get absolutely nothing, like, because I had another thing that, like, that, you know, sometimes you tweet something and it just takes off really unexpectedly, and then the stuff that you think is going to go really well and it gets nothing, and people tell that you're not funny. I once tweeted, like, it was something really simple, like, every app your mum has ever opened on her phone is still open. And it got like 3,000 likes. And I still don't really understand why. So I just sort of tried it. Yeah, maybe that's it. I tried it as like a throwaway thing on stage, and it just doesn't work. It just does not translate.
No, I've noticed that. It's very annoying. I spend all this time crafting these jokes, and they get, you know, a reasonable response, but nothing crazy. But anything that's real life goes nuts.
Yeah.
Like I went around Danny Ward's house, and he had, in his shower, along his bath, he had every single I'm going to say flavour, but I don't think that's the right word. Flavour of, is it the imperial leather? No, what's the one with the mint? The mint, but they've got loads of different weird colours and
sauce. Is it?
Yeah, original sauce. Mm. He had all of those, and I just tweeted, "When you find out your mate's a psychopath." So just something from real world, and yeah. That went crazy as a tweet.
It's anything weird, that's. Isn't it?
But with yours, it's that like that's so slightly different. That's just relatable. That's a Peter Kay kind of. Mm. Peter Kay probably could make that work.
Because yes,
it goes with everything he does.
Well, he'd act it out, wouldn't he? He'd have a whole.
Because there's
thing
no
of...
punch. That's the thing. Yeah, there's exactly. No punch. Which maybe compared to your other bits, maybe they're just like they're just not in that rhythm of laughing at something that hasn't got the punch.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, because I don't really do that kind of like observational thing of leading the audience down the garden path of like, and then this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens. And that's not to judge that, by the way. I think that's the hardest type of comedy to do, actually, observational comedy.
I think one line is, really... but, you know, agree to disagree.
I think it's stories about plastic surgeons laughing at children, to be honest. In fact, no one's ever cracked it. But yeah, I feel like with observational stuff, you've got to find something everybody knows, but no one's noticed. And that's so much harder to do than it sounds like it is.
Yeah. So maybe if you had more of those in that section, then it would work. If you just totally like rinsed all the parents and technology kind of things.
Yeah.
That maybe it needs that. Maybe it's just stands. It's just a bit too out of nowhere.
And also sometimes it's like, because I'm not that sort of comic and I'm not sure that I actually want to be. I don't know how invested I am in actually trying to make that work as a bit.
Because you hate those sort of comics, don't you?
Because I hate those sort of comics and I don't respect them. And I think they're stealing a living from proper craftsmen right, like you and I.
So did you just say that as an like just so you say just an aside? Just said.
Yeah, I can't remember how I did it. Maybe that was the problem. I think I just I might have been talking about parents and technology in some other way and just sort of threw it out there. Because sometimes like a funny line no one's expecting that is in itself a funny line can be absolutely devastating. But it just didn't pan out that way.
What if you set it up in a way that you're lowering expectations and then it's better than they're expecting? As in, so you did that first joke. You said that I tweeted that, did really well. Which is really strange, but I tweet this next one I tweeted and it never works live, and just tell him that, and then I think there's something in it, and then do it maybe, but it might not be worth the effort.
Yeah, this is the thing, isn't it? I feel like I don't know, it can go one of two ways when you're sort of like talking about comedy and the craft of it. Like, I wonder, do you want to sort of let people in behind the curtain, or is that interesting? I think Stuart Lee's quite strong on this, that he hates the idea that comedians shouldn't talk about being comedians, because why shouldn't we? It's our lives, it's a job, it's as any subject should, you know, be fair
yeah
game.
That came up on the podcast the other day, that thing of people look down on comics that always sort of say, oh, this thing happened at a gig the other day,
yeah,
or this other thing happened at a gig, which I think's okay in you know, I mean, if that's every setup to every bit, then maybe it's a bit much.
And I think
but it does make sense.
I think it needs to be particularly good as well, doesn't it? Also, I think there's a sense that maybe it's a bit lazy, which I don't think is fair. And also, maybe there's a sense that you yourself didn't actually write the gag, because quite often I had a bit that stayed in my show. Like, right. I had a bit about I had a bit about being single and going out on a night out where you don't know what's going to happen. And like packing condoms and stuff, and like getting together your little maybe kit, and how kind of weird sort of sordid that feels. So I would, to try and deliberately make audience members a little bit uncomfortable, I was asking men in the audience where they keep their condoms, and at a preview in Brighton, somebody just said the van. And it was like, I'm never gonna get a better response for that. So I just kept that in, and like would end that bit by saying someone said this that time. So yeah, I mean,
that would work when you retold that, because that's hilarious. Yeah. That's really funny.
Yeah,
that's
great.
So funny. Yeah, because I had that kind of. I didn't know whether to relay. So I had a video which went did really well online, and it was of a gig where I was about to talk about Game of Thrones and someone shouted no spoilers, which actually links to what you were talking about earlier. And then I was like, oh right. And they were like, I said, how far are you? And they said, I haven't watched any of it yet. And then, so this was all getting sort of laughs as it went. And then I was like, when are you going to watch it? And there's some time. And then the guy went, I'm going to read the books first. And then someone else shouted, there's spoilers in the books, which is the best heckle anyone's.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's really funny. And I've never relayed that story on stage, but maybe I could.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I mean, because I think it's neater. It's more satisfying if that conversation is between you and him rather than you, him, and a third person. But at the same time, so, you don't really want to nick that person's joke, right?
Well, you want to give them the credit. Yeah, so because you could do it. So if you were going to nick it, you could either do it as in, that's my response to that audience member.
Mm.
Or you could set up into a joke world where my mate said to me, do you know what I mean? And then do it. So it's not at a, it doesn't have to be set at a gig. My mate's all really pretentious. He's like, I'm not watching Game of, he said, don't tell me about Game of Thrones. I haven't seen it yet. But you know, I always read the book first. I said, there's spoilers in the books. Like, because that way, if I've made him a unlikable, pretentious, then that would work. I think that would work as a gag.
Yeah.
But like you say, that's not my joke.
Exactly. That's it. There's like, that's you'd that, feel dirty, wouldn't you? Like,
yeah, but that bloke's never going to go and do it.
Well, exactly, right?
If anything, it's a compliment.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, you...
I need to find that bloke. If you are that bloke and you're listening, let me know if I can have it.
Yeah, to give him a tenner or something.
The video did well, so thanks for that anyway. Because on the video, I did a thing. In the live gig, I did a thing. When he said it, because it was a funny line, I wanted to sort of let him have that because it was very good. And then I said, actually, I'm filming this, so I'm just going to do me saying it. Jim Campbell!
Yes.
Hashtag awooga. Jim Campbell, great episode. Great chat. Really nice catch.
Great man.
Great man. I've been there. Yeah, because if you're listening in France, I just called him a great cat. Didn't I? He's not a cat. He's a human. I was speaking English. So, great episode. Good catching up with him. I haven't seen him for ages. Old Jim boy. Jim Campbell, the old boy. So, yeah, good stuff. And if you want more Jim Campbell, we've got more great chat over on the Patreon, including where we have a little chat about an email that went around asking comedians to gig in the nudes. So, yes, go check that out now at patreon.com/jokeswithmark. If you enjoyed the episode, any feedback at Jokes with Mark across all social media. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you like the podcast, head over to Apple Podcasts and chuck us up a 5-star review. That would be bloody lovely. We'll give you a high five for that, won't we?
Yeah.
What you do for us today, Joel?
Don't know, mate. Might go to Sainsbury's.
Oh, nice.
What about you?
I might go to Tesco's later. I've got a gig, actually, and on the way back, I'm going to go to Tesco's and get some food.
What are you going to
get? Fish.
Which one?
All of them.
Every...
I'll get all the fish.
Oh, yeah? I guess if you're travelling past late at night after a gig, what, do you go around the back by the bins? You got a guy.
No, I'm into fish at the moment. I eat a lot of different fish. I think I mentioned last week that I had some calamari.
You did?
Yesterday I had some scampi.
Yeah.
I got some cod in the fridge for later tonight, but I'm going to go and stock
up. Have you got any fish that's not in batter?
It's breadcrumbs, mate. I'm not eating carbs, so the breadcrumbs are my only carbs. That's allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Breadcrumbs are my only carbs is one of the saddest sentences I've ever heard, but yeah.
Yeah, because if they're not attached to the fish, that's even worse. Is there anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you?
Nothing more from me, Joel. Hashtag Awooga, everybody. Hashtag Awooga.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.